And so we need a proper attitude about fasting. There is a lot of different kinds of fasts you can do over this time. Fast from sweets, fast from coffee, or something that the Lord is really speaking you about doing to lay aside for a month. That's a form of fasting. You can fast from television. You can fast from the internet. You can fast from your iPhone. Ouch! Ouch! Everybody say ouch! And maybe the Lord will be, because, oh God help us. So, there's a lot of different ways you can fast. There's a Daniel fast, fasting from sundown to sundown. And then, just don't eat anything after you eat supper and then till the following supper. That's a Jewish fast. That's a Jewish fast, sundown to sundown. Daniel fast is another form of fasting. And then you can take a day a week that you just want to don't eat anything. And then we're praying. We're consciously praying. So proper attitude of fasting. Put on your head, wash your face. Jesus said, the traditions and ashes, appearance of sorrow, discomfort should be set aside. And a mood of joy should accompany the one fasting. Very interesting. A placement of oil on the head and face washing was a social indicator of a joyful event. Very interesting. Finally, even ever since Moses wrote in the passage of Leviticus, fasting has been instituted for several reasons as follows. Fasting was connected with mourning and when a loved one passed on. The Jewish people fasted after everyone suffered from the results of civil war. Likewise, it was an expression of sorrow concerning personal and national loss, destruction of Jerusalem. Number three, the prophet Samuel required a fast of repentance because of the people strayed from their God and worshiped Baal. Moses referred to fasting as an expression of remorse and penitence over sin. Nehemiah called for a fast of confession of sin and repentance and asking for forgiveness. Fasting draws the attention of God to the one who is afflicting himself. It brings God's attention. Fasting is a proof that repentance is real, but the potential problem is that fasting can become a substitute for repentance. Ultimately, the proof of repentance is a changed attitude and lifestyle. Amen. Well, fasting can be vicarious, meaning that it is not for the benefit of the one petitioning God, but for the benefit of another person or church or nation. And this is basically what our fasting is, for God to give direction to the continued for the leadership, the deacons, and also for God supplying the need that we have here to do a lot of maintenance work around here. Fasting increases spiritual awareness, I like this, which results in one's ability to hear from God. It really does. Amazingly, members of the Sanhedrin were to pray and fast for the court decisions they were about to render. The purpose of prayer and fasting has always been to passionately ask for God's guidance and blessing with thanksgiving. The new version there in Matthew 6:17, as is shown elsewhere in the studies, the leading Pharisees fasted on Mondays and Thursdays, which were the market days in Jerusalem. This permitted everyone to see that they were fasting. Now, they did it because of people, which was little more than the public display of self-righteousness that Jesus condemned. Examples are found in these, fasting can be a means of strengthening prayer. It was a way to prepare for entering the presence of Almighty God. Prayer and fasting not only brings one closer to God, but should also reinforce a sense of holiness as evidenced by a changed lifestyle. The fast is a physical expression of a heartfelt sorrow. A true fast must be done with an honest and pure heart. Note the words of the inner testimony writer. The man who fasts to get rid of his sins and goes again and does the same thing, who will listen to his prayer, and what profit is there in his humbling himself? And that's so very important. So I felt as the Lord gave a corporate direction, and here I am trying to get you to understand what is happening, since I said that we are the authentic body of Christ and members of importance, and the government rests upon the shoulders of the body. He is the head. How many can say, thank you, Jesus? Amen. He's the head. But the government, Isaiah 9 and 6 tells us that the government shall rest upon his shoulders, the shoulders of the body. My dear brothers and sisters, there is going to be a recognition of a corporate anointing of God upon this body as we go to God's directive in what to do. And so we submit that to you, and we say, Holy Spirit will guide each one of you to do something in fasting in Jesus' name. Yes, sir.
If you sense a peace in your heart that maybe the Lord is saying, no, I want you to go without food. And I want to really, you know, this is part and parcel of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because it comes to sensitivity. A lot of times you never know, maybe by you laying down and saying, Lord, I'm walking this out by faith. This seems I shouldn't be doing this. But Lord, I'm sensing a grace to do it. How would you know that maybe God doesn't want to touch that very ailment in your body? So I'm encouraging you to say, I'm encouraging this, the Bible says, lean not upon your own understanding, but take in consideration, Lord, maybe these are areas that hinder me from doing that kind of a fast. I lay it before you, what saith you? And if you feel a peace and a grace in your heart, take it a day at a time. Honestly, I do believe, living a prayerful life, we probably should spend more time in prayer and not as much time in front of the television.
Amen.
And that's not just in prayer and fasting. But this is a special time. And it's an awesome time, because in the middle of it, it's not a lot of times meant to be a walk in the park, but you begin to see grace now come into your life and say, wow, I have the grace to continue to seek His face, to withstand a withdrawal from the food, and spending that time actively praying and being prayerful. I encourage you, even during that time, come out Tuesday nights. Watch with the sensitivity that you carry. All of a sudden, with the Holy Spirit, you begin to hear God's voice speaking to you and speaking things not to your life only, but even for other people. And so prayer and fasting, I mean, in my life, it's become part of my lifestyle. You know, at times where the Lord just draws me to pray and fast. And I've always left so blessed where I've seen answered prayer. There's come a great sensitivity in the Holy Spirit where God's performing things through my life. And I just want to encourage each and every one of us as a body is that when you give yourself truly to the true, genuine part of prayer and fasting with the right attitude, like Pastor Mel was sharing about, and I believe also being prayerful, saying, Lord, what food, what maybe lunch or whatever you need me to withdraw from in exchange of taking that time, and literally you're dying to self, but that's you're right. Going to find yourself being resurrected by the Holy Spirit and walking out grace. And so I just want to encourage you with that. And even if you have physical issues, take that before the Lord. You never know. All things are possible with Him.
Amen. So, thank you, my dear brother. That really helps a lot. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that You will supernaturally work in our hearts and help us to do Your bidding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now turn in your Bibles to John 1, if you would. As you're turning there, I want you the PowerPoint that you put up, that PowerPoint, if you would, please, for me. And I want to go there. The Church of the Incarnational God is my title, my message. You can write that down. Our true ministry is incarnational. Okay? And I just want to look at John John, St. John, the first chapter here, and I want to read to you that it's very, very important. You can put that scripture up first and then come back with that PowerPoint, if they'd be okay with me. John 1:12. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, received power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I love this next verse. It states here, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh. I like that. He said of blood and of flesh. But this is what he said, which were born of God, but of God, born of God, born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Now, I am passionate to be passionate for Jesus, and that's why I have this Bible. I think it was just made just for me, the Passion Translation. I like that. I think that's pretty cute. So here in the Passion Translation, it puts it this way in verse 13. Let me read it. He was not born by the joining of human parents. Okay? You know, the way you came into this world is a mom and daddy. And you were birthed by human parents. Okay. That's very important. We're given, let's see. He was not born by joining of human parents, nor from natural means. Oh, really? You mean there's another kind of birth? Or by man's desire. Oh, I love that. You weren't born when you were born of God by man's desire or by a human mom and dad. But he was born of God. And so, the living expression became a man and lived among us. You know something? You were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Thank God you weren't created from a monkey. You don't have monkey genes in you. Get rid of it. They teach you that in school, and the evolution teaches you that, but you were born of God. Because Flo, before anyone was here on the earth, God created man out of the dust of the ground. Think about that. There was a dirt man. I love that picture. Get that picture. There was a dirt man laying there that God created. Come on now. You talk about the creative power of Almighty God. And that dirt man, he was laying there, and the Bible tells us, and God breathed into his nostrils. That's what the Bible says. Right in his nostrils. And man became a living soul. Come on. Now, we know that the first man, he messed up. Didn't have a belly button either. Oh, get that. No, Adam didn't have a belly button. So anyway, here we have man. He became a living soul, but he messed up. Then the Bible says the second Adam came on the scene, and that was Christ. And by one man's death, the Bible says, death reigned in the earth by one man, Adam. But by another man, Adam, life reigned. Christ reigned. Very important. You know, let me tell you something here, if you don't know it. They tell us, sir, in your lifetime, you will affect over 5,000 people for good or bad. One person. Now, let's just think about that just for a moment. If every decision I make is going to affect 5,000 people, that's an awesome thought. How many can say amen to that? You better start making right decisions. Kapakusa. I don't know about you, but that gives me a motivation this morning to make sure that I do things right. How many can say amen? Very, very important. So, put up the PowerPoint if you could at this time here. We here at Grace Chapel have a real passion. Go back. Start off with the first one there. Let's see if it works. Modern technology. I like it. Isn't it showing it? Okay. Are we there? Okay. Our mission statement is, let's go back. Okay, right there. I'll control it now. Let's read this together. We exist to see individuals and cultures so changed and renewed by the gospel of grace that they passionately pursue their role in the great story of redemption. Okay, that is our whole reason for doing anything here in Grace Chapel. Okay? Everything we do, it's that the world will get to know Jesus. So we better be passionate about it. How many can say amen? We better be passionate about what we're here for to do. Now, that is very important. Now, let's read this together, our role. As a community of faith is to be an environment where the number one pursuit is the development of human beings who are growing into the image of God, who are redeemed into God's family through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I think I need to make sure I get that on a card for you next Sunday. I'm going to do that. And so every day you read that. Let's read it one more time. As a community of faith is to be an environment where the number one pursuit is the development of human beings who are growing into the image of God, who are redeemed into God's family through Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, folks. It's all about Jesus. Very important. So, true ministry is incarnational. You say, Pastor Mel, what does that word mean? Well, thank you for asking me. I'll tell you what it means. Incarnation means that the Christian belief is that the Son, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, was incarnated or made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ in order to save the world from original sin. Ah, We believe there's only one way to heaven. It's through accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and allowing the Holy Ghost of God to make Him real to you. Now, this is my whole passion right now throughout this summer month. We're going, being the authentic body of Christ. Let me share with you. And I encourage you, can you get the website up? See if you can get the website up. We had a brother here, Brother Timothy Groves, and we just have his his Friday night service here. Go to, Justin is creating this, go to sermons, and you just hit sermons, okay? And now play the first one there. Bring it down one. That testimony there is of a gentleman that was on drugs and alcohol, and he was in prison for 18 years. Is about 12 minutes. You must hear that. It's amazing. He was here Friday night, and he shared with us how God set him free. He was in a gang in prison where they would do drugs in prison, and all. And his testimony is amazing. So it's up there too. But then play that first one. Just hit it. Just listen. It's that easy to do. Okay.
Julian's actually going to go on that volume with me this fall. He and
Brother Timothy shared with us
the young man that I mentor, Mylan.
The death of a church.
A great time traveling across the country.
And how to
six
revive
weeks just going at it. But one of the more recent and exciting things that had happened in our family is our twin girls
just
graduated from the Maranatha Ministry
Training.
One soul per year per church in America, friend.
Listen.
The American church is broken. Listen, at that rate, if we could just hit the remote control and hit the pause button so that nobody else is born in America, nobody else dies in America, it would take us 100 years to win the lost here in America at that conversion rate. Amen? The American church is broken. I know we like to boast. I know we like to brag. I know we like to beat our chest and talk about how awesome we are. But I'm telling you, folks, we are failing miserably at advancing the kingdom here in America. When you look at the cold, hard facts, you can come to no other conclusion except the American church is broken. Let me give you some more numbers. In America, less than 18% of our population actually attends church regularly. And if you think that those 18% are super spiritual giants, 51% of those 18% can't even tell you what the Great Commission is. Yeah. The generation of kids that we have today is known as Generation Z. Kids age 13 to 18, Generation Z. They are the first truly post-Christian generation.
You can stop it now. But the
point the number to think of.
The point I'm bringing out, he helped us to see where we're at, and he gave us the solution out of it, which is incredible. And so that is our passion. Go back to my PowerPoint, if you would, please. And I just want to finish just two more slides here that you can see here. I'm trying to help you to understand clearly where we are at today and what we're going on. So Jesus is the only way. Now, William Booth, a founder of Salvation Army, said this, and I just was, as I'm studying here and going, I just want us to realize where we're at and help us to understand that. And he was used mightily of God. He said, the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be a religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and a heaven without hell. Folks, you can turn that off now. That is, you just leave it on. Just leave it on. Someone want to copy that too, you know, but I need to get that. But that is the problem where we're at. But I believe here at Grace Chapel, that is not the case from this day forward. We are the living body of Christ alive on planet Earth today. We are what God intended when He sent Jesus down, because Jesus was here for 33 and a half years to show us one man that was totally possessed with God Almighty could live here. He was total man. He was total like you and I. He was a human being. What one man can do, submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Come on, can you give the Lord a hand? Come on. Give Him a hand. Amen. That is what we're talking about. If this isn't true, then Jesus would have come in a person. Just an ordinary person. We have been under the impression that, well, if another person would do it, or not, you know, show, you know, that people say, well, this church is messed up. Well, why don't you be unmasked and show us how to do it right? That's what I tell people. Well, you're not doing it right. Well, show us how to do it then. I was talking to a trucker here this morning, and he was complaining about some churches, and he said they didn't find the right church. And so he said he's going to a church. I said, sir, why don't you go to that church and change it? I heard of a guy who went to a fairly large church, and he decided that that he was just going to start greeting folks at this one door, and finally the pastor came to him and said, what are you doing? Nobody, hardly anybody wants to go to the other doors, but they're only going to your door. He said, I made a decision that I'm going to be the friendliest man around here. And he came to be the leader of the greeters. He didn't have no title. You know, I love that. Then there was another gentleman just this past week told me. He said, you know, Pastor, he said, I am so excited about what God is doing in the earth today. He said, I go into my church and I pray. I pray. Lord, I pray, I name the seat. I say, oh God, I pray for so-and-so in my family. I'm believing that you're going to get them here. And he would go around to that church. He did it for a couple of years. Go around and put a name of his family on that seat. And to this day, 20 of his family are going to that church. I wonder what would happen if each one of you would do that. Wow. 20 of his family are going to church. We're unchurched. God help us. God help us. The true ministry is done face to face. Incarnation, face to face. Jesus put a face on God. You have been so long with us. The disciples said, you talk about your Father and show us it. Jesus said, you see me. You see God. Oh, really? Yeah. Very important. Jesus literally fleshed out the ideas of God upon this earth. Paul, too, emphasizes this very thing. The irreplaceable experience of the need we need to get back to face-to-face encounter with God and one another. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:17, we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time. Impersoned, not in thought. But out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. See you. Eyeball to eyeball. Then he said in Romans 1:11-12, for I long to see you, that I might be mutually encouraged by your faith. I like that. This generation is crying out for connection like never before. They're really crying out for God's heart. I think it's time that we show everybody we meet every day God's heart. Why not? Very important. We need to understand that the unchurched world needs connection. They're not getting it in church. Why? Because I think we've been doing church a little wrong. I'm not saying not all. I thank God that at one time this place was packed with over 500 people. Right? And one of the hallmarks of that was face-to-face encounter. He just loved people everywhere he went. He just was passionately blessing people and just doing. In Jesus' name, this church is back. Hallelujah. To just loving people where they're at and helping them to go on to be what God has wanted them to do. Amen? It's back. We're there. In Jesus' name. John's gospel is filled with conversation between Jesus and other people. It is not a collection of polished sermons. Get this now. You don't hear in Jesus' time here, the 3.5 years that he spent with his disciples, just real polished sermons. No. That Jesus preached, but recorded conversations that he had with people along the way as he was walking with them and talking with them. Jesus, majority, 95% of Jesus' time was not in church. It was out in the community. And that's one thing Brother Timothy shared with us. Be the church. Be the church. Out in the coffee shops. Sorry to say it, there's a lot more church stuff going on out there than inside, the way God wants it to be. There was one guy who came back from being a missionary, and he just was, things weren't just happening. And so this was when the, this is back probably about 20 years ago. So God told him to go to the coffee shop and just start talking to people. And he just started going to the bar, the coffee shop, and he just started talking to people. And he got a following in the coffee shop. And from there, he built a church. Just getting to where people are at. You know what? I have a vision, and I'm not saying that we have to do this, but I believe spiritually we have to do that. I have a vision that we take out all these pews, Brother Tom, and we just have people gathering around the table, drinking some coffee and maybe munching on some things, and then you preach to them, and then they just talk about how they're going to live it out in their life in the coming week. That's pretty radical, is right? Well, let's get on with what God is calling us to do. I'm not saying we're going to do that, but I'm just telling you the principle is so important. We need to connect with people. They want to come back. They want to talk. They want to experience it. That's why so many people connect with Jesus. In his time, he had a real following. Why? Because he was amongst the unbelievers and he was talking to them. He went out to the tax collectors and all that, you know. He said, come on, Zacchaeus, come down. Can I go to your house today? What if we would start going to people's houses and just having a good time? Jesus did. Okay? Jesus did. There's a lot of miracles that happen. But you know, the problem we have with the internet right now, though it's really connected, right here, this phone, I can jump around the world by using this phone. And through Facebook, and you know, it's amazing. I text people around the world. I put things up on Facebook, on the internet, and people respond right here. I got connected with the world. But one of the devastating problems with this, which you have today throughout the world, is this problem of not being able to connect with people, truly connect with people. You can see people cutting themselves into the bone on the internet, on Facebook. You can see that happening. It's the e-arena. It's mocking the relationship development. You cannot relate properly through Facebook and email, Instagram. I don't care what it is. You can touch people, yes, but not into the real senses of their heart the way it needs to. Their ability to act compassionately has been stripped away by the glass barrier of their monitors. In the arena of conflict, things aren't much different. People say things they wouldn't dare to say face to face, because the internet provides little or no accountability. Here it is. Yet illusion of fellowship has created in this vital community. And this survey went on to say here, that this culture shift of recent years, I hear in my heart an echo, Jesus' parable in Matthew 13:28. The enemy has done this. Hear me, I am not saying that we should throw this away completely and not use it. I don't care whatever it is, you can use it for good or for bad. But I'm telling you, it's time that we adjust our lives to be the Jesus generation. And we see this. There is a demonic agenda to keep us from talking face to face by giving us a false sense of connectedness in a virtual society. Genesis demonstrates this, that man was made as a relational being. It was not good for man to be alone, the Bible tells us. And yet, since the fall, man's disconnectedness from others have been the direct result of his, hear me, inability to connect with his Creator. I tell you, folks, this is very, very important. Man is still hiding. Remember in the garden? The man is still hiding. But this time, it's not behind a bush. It's behind a computer screen. Behind this. Oh, Jesus. I don't know where I'm going, but I feel good about it. He's still ashamed, and the internet takes away much of our social pressures. The real soulish intimacy in a cyber community will sabotage interpersonal relationships from the enemy's point of view. That's a deal. So if the gospel is anything, it's social relationship. It takes root through community and interpersonal relationship. I love it. The church is the incarnational church relationship, fleshing out deity. Let me go here, if I can, just for one moment. My dear sister Kim, so good to see you here today. God bless you. If you're connected to God, and I'm connected to God, then we should be connected to one another, because we've got the same spirit. Do we? We should be one. I say, Lord, help me to have that revelation. So know how, if we are one, we're connected to the Creator of the universe. He'll tell me when you're having problems. He'll tell you, hey, pray for Pastor Mel. We need to get more aware of our connection with Him. Brother Capuccio, I believe we got a track to run on. Hallelujah! Here's where I'm going. I believe every last one of us should, from this day forward, have a burning passion in our heart to picture God. If Jesus was the total manifestation of the Father, and He said, I'm going to go away, now you all can do it now. What I did. You can have the same spirit, Bart, that I had. Oh, Holy Ghost, make that real to us. So I believe, and this is where I'm going, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to journey here, because just by me telling you here today is not enough. The Holy Spirit needs to make that real. I believe if we have this desire, if we're surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, surrendered to Christ, every day we should surrender our life to Him. Amen? Paul said, I die daily. Lord, I give you my life today. I'm yours. I'm not my own. And then we surrender to those over us in the Lord, our boss, I don't care what it is, our leaders in the church, anywhere. God created governmental authority for a purpose. Do you know why He created law and order? Because a people left to himself, Brother Bill, will destroy themselves. And so we need, they're ministers of God, really. Now, we need to pray much, and I want every one of you to get out and vote and get the right people in charge. How many can say amen? And then we need to learn, and this is an area, in Jesus' name, Brother Gordon, this church we are in, the Bible tells us that we need to learn to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Lay down my rights or my opinions or others. You know, the thing that I appreciate so much about relationship, I've learned it for 50 years with my wife, and she's here. Yeah, Rosemary's here. And I tell you what, not one of us likes to say, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that. We don't like to do it that way, do we? We don't like people to tell us. And Jesus doesn't work that way. He just makes us willing. He has a ways and means committed to work with us. I just love that picture, you know. I love that picture, Dad. You know, even the Bible. I don't have the scripture before me. I should have it, Tom, here, but it just came to me now. The scripture tells us, and somebody made a song on it, you know, concerning being willing and surrendering to God's plan instead of my plans, you know, how God works. If a nest of live hornets were loosed in this room, they wouldn't compel us to go. They'll just make us willing. How many know that God has a ways and means to help us to say, okay, I surrender. Amen? Amen? It's so important. But here's where I want to close with this. My prayer, my daily prayer has been for the last 2 years, Lord, I want to live out of your heart. I would recommend that you start praying that prayer every day and seeing what the Holy Spirit has done. He makes it a lot easier to work with people, because I have learned that it is interesting, to say the least, when I invite my wife to do something and not demand it of her to do it. You know, and I I have to be so careful what I say and how I say here too about my wife, and I want to celebrate her. But Rosemary, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you for giving me, As I look back over our lives, Rosemary, in 50 years, that I was such a demanding man with people and all. And I'm so thankful, honey, that you got worked with me for 50 years. And I'm seeing myself in ways that I haven't seen before. Honey, you have helped me. Makes it so much easier if we operate in the fruits of the Spirit. It's the Spirit. His fruits live in us. Kindness, gentleness, meekness. And I really believe with all my heart, my dear brothers and sisters, that God is in control of you and me. And I can go from this place with total confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit that He's going to do His work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and the gates of hell are not going to stop us. But we're going to come and become the body of Christ, the authentic body of Christ that He intended us to be in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? So, will you be patient with me? Will we be patient with one another? As we together just say, Lord, will you help us? Is that okay? Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for being with us today. You have a greater passion. You have a greater desire. I just see you there and you're praying in the garden, oh, Father, that they may be one. That the world will know that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I'm going to give them. Father, I thank you from this day forward with the help of your Holy Spirit. We're going to be answers to that prayer as we allow your divine word to work on us to do what no man can do. In Jesus' name. Brother Ben, can you come and sing that song now? The Lord just put it to the end. I was going to sing it in the middle. But I just want us to sing this song. And Ben said he would lead it here. As our confession, Jesus be the center. Jesus be the center. Let's make this together our declaration today. That Lord, I want you to be the center of everything in my life. It's a powerful song I haven't heard for a long time. The Lord brought it to my attention. While you're sitting, let's just sing it. Lead it, Brother Ben. We mean that. We're telling you, Lord, that's what we really want. And Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that as you walk the shores of Galilee with Jesus, make yourself so real to us. That even from this moment, without a shadow of a doubt, we will realize as you, Jesus, said, without me, you can do nothing. So today we recommit our lives to you as a body of believers, Lord. Oh God, that we can go forth and be Jesus to people that desperately need you. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 God bless you. Be the church.